grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to the online worship service of Asbury United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm Hammett Evans, the senior pastor. Thank you for joining us live Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Daylight Time or later on at your convenience. In just a few moments, my colleague, Reverend Nick Schimmer, will be bringing a message about the seismic shift that happened in Paul's life on the Damascus Road. Please let us know that you're here by commenting or checking in on our Facebook page. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram. Many of our teachers and students start school tomorrow, and I started school right here at Romine Elementary. Now it's Romine Early Childhood Center. But this is where I attended kindergarten through the second grade. And I remember that first day of kindergarten. We lived right across the street. Mom took me by the hand and we walked down the sidewalk to the crossing guard by the church. It was so scary and yet it was so exciting. So we're praying for everyone starting school tomorrow. We pray this service blesses you. So grab your backpack and let's join together in our call to worship. Come to Christ, that living stone, rejected by the world, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. We have responded to Christ's call, but seek to be built into a spiritual house, a living reminder of God's presence on earth. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people, called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Therefore, we sing with the church in all ages, blessed be your name, O God, our Redeemer. By your mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let us pray together. The words will be on your screen. At the beginning of a new school year, O God of wisdom, we offer thanks and praise for the gift of new beginnings and for the opportunity to learn and wonder. We pray for teachers, students, and staff that this year might be rewarding for all. Be with us as we face the challenge of new tasks, the fear of failure, the expectations of parents, friends, and self. In our learning and our teaching, may we grow in service to others and in love for your world through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're praying for everybody going back to school. Whether you're a child, a teenager, a college student, or an adult learner, grab your backpack and let's pray. God, we pray your blessings upon these backpacks and on the students who will carry them. May they be a reminder that you're with us wherever we go. Open our minds, ears, and hearts that we may learn all we need to know to serve you faithfully each day. Help us be good students, good teachers, good friends, so that our goodness and love reflect you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.
Hello, everybody. Today, I wanted to talk to you about something that I love, and if you can tell where I'm at, then you might be able to figure out what I'm talking about. So I'm talking about school. I'm in my classroom right now. This is where I teach during the school year in this room. And a lot of us are getting ready to head back to school this next week, me included, since I'm a teacher. And when we're heading back into school for a new year, there are lots of different things that we might be feeling, a lot of feelings we might be feeling. We might be feeling anxious about meeting our new teacher. We might be feeling unsure about who we're going to play with at recess. We might be just really excited to be back in a classroom, back at school. But no matter what you're feeling, we can rest assured that we're not alone. And you probably know where I'm going with this. But we're not alone because we have God. God is always with us. And when we walk through those school doors on the first week of school, first day of school, or we sit in our new chair, or we head outside to play at recess, he's going to be with us. And I think that's pretty cool. I want to read you a Bible verse that I always look back on at the start of a new school year. And it's from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I want you to think about that as you're starting school this next week, and maybe even share that with a friend. You're going to be meeting new friends or seeing old friends and talking with your teacher, and they're all feeling the same way that you are. They might be feeling anxious or excited too. So I want us to remember, we're not alone. God is always with us. Will you please pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful for a new school year, and we are so thankful that we can rest easy knowing that you will be with us through all of these new times. I pray for a happy and healthy school year for our kids and our teachers. We love you. Amen.
At an early age, we learn to share. Sharing is an essential part of our life in Christ. You're welcome to support our ministries at Asbury by giving online, or you may also text AsburyUMC to 73256. Following Jesus is a lifelong journey. Each day we recommit ourselves to that journey. I invite you to pray now as Diana and Caleb share, "Here I Am, Lord."
Our scripture is Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Thank you, Chelsea. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today at Asbury United Methodist Church. I am Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here, and I pray that this time of worship blesses and strengthens you. In the coming days, many of our children and teachers will be returning to school for yet another exciting year of learning and growing. And while there will be the expected learning that comes with math and science, reading, social studies, and so on, there will also be, for all of them, and for us, the things we learn that are unexpected, and often that we aren't looking for. It's the type of learning that changes us, even if we can't see it. With school starting this week, one thing I can't wait to see are all of the first day of school pictures that will be posted. Some with students looking super excited, some looking less so. But what that picture does is it freezes a moment in time for us to keep. And the purpose of keeping that photo is to then compare it with the obligatory last day of school photo, one where all the kids look really excited, and to place those photos side by side so we can see the growth that occurred over the course of the year. And speaking as a parent, that can be a powerful image when they are placed side by side. It makes you wonder how our children have grown so much. But what's interesting about those photos is it only captures the physical growth of our children. But the seismic change, the life-altering change, is the one that occurs internally, the one we can't always see in a photo. It is the lifelong shaping of our hearts and our minds that have the greatest impact on our future. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to look at three significant moments of profound learning using the book of Acts as our guide. As we prepare to examine the Word of God together, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this moment, for this opportunity to hear your word proclaimed. I ask in this time that this word be yours and not mine. So get me out of the way, God, and draw us nearer to you in a time of transformation, growth, and learning. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. These words, which ring powerfully down through the ages, are the final words of a man named Stephen, who was the first person to be martyred for the Christian faith. Luke shares this story with us in Acts chapter 7. Only at that time, they weren't called Christians. They were simply known as the Way. And to say that the Way had become somewhat of a nuisance to the religious hierarchy of the day would be putting it mildly. This weird religious sect, one claiming that a dead Jewish rabbi is God, had grown from a minor inconvenience to a culturally disruptive problem. A problem that needed to be tampered at worst and eliminated at best. So as an angry mob is raining stones down upon Stephen, blow by blow, expelling the life from his body, a man stands watch over the murder. And while he does not cast a stone himself, he supervises approvingly. This is just the beginning of what would become a legalized edict to persecute and murder these Christian heretics. And this man who stood watch, a man named Saul, would carry out that task better than most, going from church to church, from house to house, dragging people out of their homes, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, and throwing them in prison, and doing so with a zeal that can only come from a certainty in his heart that what he was doing was right. That background helps us to see the scripture we just heard, Acts 9, in its proper context. To see what Saul becomes, we have to understand what he was. Not just what he was, but what he believed in his heart to be righteous and just. In this part of Acts 9, Saul and his posse have set out from Jerusalem to Damascus with a mission and a purpose. In their hands, they hold papers signed by the high priest that make their actions not only welcome, but legal. Saul was not reactive in his actions. He wasn't simply just following orders. No, he was proactive. He sought these letters of approval. And so he sets out, eyes set on Damascus, the Syrian province, to serve his brand of justice, all in the name of God. But here is what he doesn't see, what he doesn't know. While on this journey, this long road from where he was to where he was headed, Saul was stuck. He was stuck between certainty and revelation, from what he was certain he knew about God and what God had not yet revealed to him. What makes this story of Saul's encounter with Jesus so powerful is that Saul was not seeking. He wasn't seeking to grow in the knowledge of God. He wasn't seeking a mighty revelation. He wasn't reading N.T. Wright or Tim Keller, hoping for a deeper understanding of God's nature. No, he had it all figured out, or so he thought. When God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, he often revealed himself as a bright, blinding light. Saul, being a Pharisee, a man of religious education, knew these stories. So to experience God as a light flashing all around him, while no doubt surprising, who wouldn't be shocked by that? He would not be ignorant to what was occurring. He was, however, ignorant to who exactly he was looking at when he saw the face of God. It's what prompted the question, "Who are you, Lord?" The Greek word for Lord is Kyrios, which also is translated to sir. Saul knew he was witnessing something significant, but he did not know who he was looking at. The answer would change his life forever. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And in that moment, that seismic event, Saul simultaneously has his life completely fulfilled and his life completely shattered. This is called the most famous conversion in history, but this is not a conversion in the way we think of it today, so I don't think that is the right word. We often think of conversion as when someone who is agnostic or atheist comes to faith through Jesus Christ. Saul was a deeply religious man, well-educated, and knew the scriptures well. But he was stuck in what he was certain he knew about God, to the point that it took a seismic event to change his life. It was in that moment that Christ's presence, in all its love, hope, and glory, softened the hardest of hearts. It was in that moment that the church's fiercest enemy would become its most gifted and energetic champion. It was in that moment that Saul would experience something so powerful that his life would change forever, so much so that his identity changed. His life in Christ as Paul would bring the gospel to places previously untouched, to people once not welcome among God's people. His work in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles would change the world and open the door to Christ for so many through the ages, including all of you Gentiles listening today. So, what would be the result of his ministry? It would be a martyr's death. What he once supervised approvingly, he now welcomed lovingly, knowing his salvation was secure through Christ's mighty sacrifice. What are the seismic events of your life? What are the moments that so shook your core that it changed you forever? We all experience them, and in many different forms. Some come in the form of tragedy and heartache. Some come in the form of joy and celebration. Sometimes they are an awakening to evils around us that we were once blind to. Sometimes they lead us to love our neighbor in a way we never thought possible. And all of this occurs when we open our hearts to the life-changing power of Christ's transcending love, bore for us on the cross, so that we may be free from the shackles of a hardened heart, from being stuck between certainty and revelation. I've always appreciated Ananias. I appreciate his willingness to help a man who had done so much evil, because I do not know if I would be able to in the same situation. But his faith did not need convincing. When the Lord called out to him, he responded, "Here I am, Lord." God's healing for Saul was delivered through Ananias, a Christian whom Saul would have thrown into prison, but now they are brothers in Christ. As we walk along this path of lifelong learning, God is constantly reaching out to us to open our eyes so that we may know him more intimately, so that we can see his will more clearly, and so we can experience his love more completely. When the seismic events of your life occur, look for God's face on the Damascus Road. Shout, "Here I am, Lord," and let the love of Christ transform you into the image you are called to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this moment, for this opportunity to gather as your beloved children, to come together to praise and glorify your name, to give you thanks for the unending blessings that you continue to pour into our lives and through us to be a blessing to others. We come to you this morning, all of us, with our hearts hardened in some way. We ask that you, through us, make our hearts again flesh, so that we may grow with a renewed love that is stronger in an understanding of your will, a stronger in its understanding of your love and of your grace, so that we may then take that to love our neighbors. Now we pray this morning for our church here at Asbury. We pray for our Little Rock community. We pray for all of those who are impacted, who are affected by COVID-19, by this pandemic. We pray for the doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, the folks on the front line who are working tirelessly to bring people to health, to provide them the loving care that they need. We pray this morning for our children, for teachers, and for parents as a new school year begins. May this be a wonderful season of learning and of growth for us all. May it be a moment where we come into the halls of schools and be the image of Christ that you call us to be. May we be that show of love, grace, and mercy that is so desperately needed in our culture. We pray this morning for individuals who are dealing with illness, who are dealing with physical ailments, who are dealing with addiction, who are dealing with mental struggles. God, we know that you are at work in all of those situations. We know that your will is being done and that your love is present. We pray this morning specifically for these brothers and sisters in Christ of Asbury. We pray for Clifford Smith. We pray for Jesselyn Sinkhorn. We pray for Barbara Clark. We pray for Nate Hill. We pray for Betty Hill. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams. We pray for Craig Cogbill. We pray for June Counts and Patty Shoemaker. We pray for Joe O'Dell and Lanny Langley. And we pray for Bonnie Covey and family the loss of our dear member, Tony Covey. We know, God, that you are with all of them. We know that your work is being done. And we ask that you strengthen them, that you strengthen all of those who love them. And may they feel the power of your grace. God, above all, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was sent to pay the price we could not pay ourselves through the cross. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his earthly ministry and all that he taught us while he was here, all that he is teaching us now, and all that he will teach us in the future. We thank you for the ability to speak to you directly through the power of prayer. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray with the Lord's Prayer, which we will say now together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, for I am a child. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to everyone who took part. Today we talked about the seismic shift in Paul's understanding. We invite you to come back next week as we see the seismic shift in Peter's understanding of who's in and who's out when it comes to God's family. If this service blessed you, please share it with someone else. And now receive this blessing. Go forth with Christ. with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.